If you've got Bibles with you this morning, you may want to have your thumb in Matthew 2 and maybe a bookmark in Luke 2, because we're going to just flip between those two accounts that we have of Jesus' birth this morning as we consider, as I said just a moment ago, our unexpected Jesus. Yes, foretold and prophesied about for hundreds of years before he came. Even right at the beginning of our Bible, in Genesis, we have this great promise of a son that was going to come. And yet when Jesus came, he was unexpected in so many ways. And that's an emotion and a feeling we can relate to, isn't it? Particularly as Christmas comes up. There's so many things that we know are going to happen, but yet they still creep up on us. Maybe you've been opening your Advent calendars for the whole of the month of December, and yet suddenly, Christmas Day suddenly seems to sneak up, and there's a last-minute rush to get presents and get them delivered and arrived on time. In our household this year, for most of the month of December, we've had a chocolate bar sellotaped to the fridge door. And we were playing the game of Whamageddon. Anyone come across Whamageddon? Oh dear, I need to do some educating here. So the aim was to get as far as we could through the Advent season without hearing Last Christmas by Wham. And whoever could last the longest was going to get the chocolate bar. And it was kind of something we knew was going to happen, but was hoping wouldn't happen, but of course did. Because you can't get very far with going shopping or at Christmas parties without that song coming up. I think I was out second on about December the 10th. It was one of my colleagues at work, got me out on purpose, but I'm trying not to be bitter about it. Or maybe it's those presents under the tree that you've bought for your husband to give you, and you're just trying to forget what they are and trying to look surprised on Christmas Day when what you expect comes along. But with Jesus, yes, he was foretold, but he was so unexpected in his birth and in his life. And it's particularly the unexpected elements of Jesus' birth that I want us to consider and think about for a few moments this morning. First of all, the unexpected place. And then secondly, the unexpected people. The unexpected place and the unexpected people. If you've got that passage in Matthew open that Rachel read to us, you read the error of the wise men straight away in verse 1, don't you? Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem. Here we have these kings that we know so little about, who knew that Jesus had been born. There in verse 2, where is he who has been born King of the Jews? For whatever reason, whether it's ancient scrolls or prophecies, that they knew that the King of the Jews had been born. And where do you find a king? Well, in the capital. In the place of authority, the heart of Judaism, in Jerusalem, where the temple is. Surely that's where you're going to find a king. That's where he's going to be. And yet that verse tells us that they were very much mistaken. That Jesus wasn't there in Jerusalem, but he was there, as we heard last Sunday, in that little forgotten town of Bethlehem. Not around royalty, not with all the trappings of the temple, but in a small little town called Bethlehem. He was in an unexpected place. But as Luke gives us different details of Jesus' birth, We see that's not the only unexpected place that we find Jesus, is it? Because there, verse 6 of Luke 2, we read that while Mary and Joseph were in Bethlehem, the time came for her, that's Mary, to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling cloths, and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. An unexpected place. The king, not in a palace. The king of the Jews, not in the temple. But a baby. Where do you find a baby? In a home, somewhere comfortable. You know, it's not too much to expect that Joseph must have had family there in Bethlehem. I mean, that's why he went there, wasn't it? They all needed to be taxed. There was this census going on. So all of his family would have been going back to where they'd been born, to Bethlehem, because that was the place that his family came from. And yet there's no room. There's no home. There's no comfort. And in a borrowed room or stable or cave, whatever it was, the only place that there is to put this baby is a manger. Perhaps if we were to think about this in places and terms that we understand. You know, if there's a royal birth or an important birth that takes place. You know, you expect to find the baby in London, maybe at Buckingham Palace or Windsor Castle. You expect things to be happening at St. Paul's. But this is the equivalent maybe of finding Mary and Joseph and Jesus in Dudley. I can say that because that's where I'm from. It's okay. And that there's no room in the Holiday Inn. So the only place that he can be put is in a basket covered in paper towels in the garage forecourt. You see, this can get so familiar to us that we lose the impact of what this means. That none of what is happening here around the birth of Jesus is what you would expect. It's certainly not what the wise men were expecting. None of the pomp and the ceremony or the royalty. But in a small little town, in a manger filled with straw, comes our unexpected Jesus. Jesus coming in an unexpected place. But also, we see the people around Jesus are unexpected people. If we look back at Matthew again, we have Herod, who there is the king of Judea. He's ruling over this area of Israel. And the wise men expect him to be coming to worship this new king, this king of the Jews. And you know that's why they fall for his trick there in verse 8, isn't it? Go search diligently, and when you found him, bring me word that I too may come and worship him. That would have been entirely right and proper for this king of Judea to come and see this promised Messiah. Or maybe even these scribes who he calls to in, where is it, verse 5, where he says to them, you know, these priests and scribes, what do you know of this Christ? Oh yes, yeah, we know about him. He's going to be born in Bethlehem, and it's from there that you'll find him. You need to go to Bethlehem. Surely these guys, these people who actually know where Jesus should have been born, surely it's these people who should be going to see Jesus. And yet we find here in Matthew's account that it's these wise men who we know nothing about, not really where they're from, apart from the East, who just appear in the narrative, come and leave. Foreign kings, not part of the nation of Israel. Not the people you would expect to be coming to visit Jesus. But they come, they see a child, and they worship him. verse 11 of Matthew 2. Unexpected people coming to see Jesus. But in Luke's account, we have the other extreme, don't we? We have these kings in Matthew, but in Luke 2, verses 15 to 16, we read of the shepherds. When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." Shepherds. Working men who were there in the night, out in the fields. Historians have differing views on what people would have thought of shepherds in those days. Many think that they were pretty despised and downtrodden. They weren't allowed certain rights in the towns or in the courts because they were seen as untrustworthy. Other historians debate that and say, no, we've made a bit too much of that. They were key to the temple work, looking after these sheep. So at worst, they were maybe cast off and despised or untrustworthy. At best, they are just ordinary people going about their job. Just ordinary people doing their work. And it's to these people that the angels appear. It's to these people who get to be the first to see Jesus in his manger, just as the angels say. As I said earlier, you know, surely Joseph and Mary had family around in Bethlehem. They would have all gone there. People who knew them or knew of them. That's who you would expect. But it's these unexpected shepherds that come to see Jesus born. Again, if we bring that into our modern world with important babies, you'd be expecting the royal family to be seeing a child born into their family, or celebrities or archbishops going to see someone so important. But here with Jesus, it's foreign dignitaries that come from countries that have no association, maybe from Russia or North Korea. And it's the ordinary people going around their work, maybe the bin men or the cleaners who are up early in the morning before everyone else starts. It's these people who come to see Jesus. You see, we can get so used to the Christmas story. We can get so familiar with what happens that we forget what is so unexpected. That Jesus wasn't born where you'd expect a king to be born. He wasn't placed in comfort. He was placed in a manger. He wasn't surrounded by the king of the Judea or the scribes and priests, but by ordinary people and foreign kings. But as we sit here on this Christmas morning, you may be thinking, well, that's a great story. I enjoy reading it at Christmas. I like the carols. I like seeing the children dress up and do the story. But does it really matter? What has any of this got to do with us today? Yes, Jesus, I know he was a good man, a humble man, and surely that's what you'd expect Jesus to be born like. You know that he wasn't going to go on and live in riches and splendor. And so, you know, that surely that's why this is important with his birth. That actually we just need to be like Jesus and to be humble and welcoming of the ordinary. Perhaps a little bit like Rob in his book that I mentioned earlier, that, you know, when people in need come across our path, that we just have to help them and try and make the world a better place for whoever we can help. Oh, Jesus is a great example. And he does show us how we should live. And yes, if we have more of his humility and love and grace, then yes, the world would be a better place for everyone that we come into contact with. That's not the reason we have this account. That's not the reason, the main reason why Jesus came. You see, all of these things about Jesus were key to who he is as a person. You know, even in those prophecies that we've heard about in our carol services that I've mentioned already this morning, it was prophesied that this king would be different, that he would be a servant. Isaiah prophesied that in Isaiah 53. When Zechariah spoke of this king, he spoke of a king coming in humility, riding on a donkey, not on a war horse. And when we read the prophecies of Bethlehem, we're left under no illusion as to how small and insignificant it was. And so here we have Jesus' birth in a small little town, in a manger with these unexpected visitors, these ordinary people, these outsiders. But as Jesus grows up and lives his life, we see that that's just who he associates with. That's just who he spends his time with. Not the famous, not the important, but the outcasts. Those who were called sinners, the undesirables. We see that he didn't even have anywhere he could call a home. And you may think, well, why? People at the time thought, why? And we read this a little bit later in Luke's gospel, when someone invited Jesus for a feast and a great crowd of tax collectors and others were reclining at the table with them. And the Pharisees and scribes grumbled at his disciples, saying, "Why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners?" And Jesus answered them, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. You see, we have read this Christmas story. We have heard the angel's announcements. And the angel said, this is Jesus. You're going to call him Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. And in Jesus' birth, in all the unexpected happenings, in Jesus' life with his unexpected dealings with people, we see who his people are. They're not the rich or important. It's not even just the Jewish nation. It's for all people that he comes. And it's for the people who have realized that actually they need him. Perhaps the people whose sin is so obvious in their lives. Those who realize that physically they can't help themselves, mentally they can't help themselves. To the broken, the outcasts, the failures in the world. And I just wonder this Christmas morning, do you realize why Jesus came? He came for people like us. And you know, we can put on a bit of a front, can't we? And on Christmas Day, we dress up as nicely as we can. But inside, you know, even if no one else knows it, we know that we're not all we should be. We couldn't be so kind and cheerful on the outside, but we know that inside, there are so many sins and failures and problems that we battle. Maybe our battles are more obvious to those around us. Maybe today you know it's going to be a real struggle. Maybe others won't see that today, and yet maybe they will. And the great wonder of the Christmas message, the great wonder of the gospel in the Bible is this, that Jesus has come to save his people from their sins. His people are ordinary people. His people are people from all over the world. And he comes to save from the power and the consequence of sin. And as we read through Jesus' life, as we see what he did, as we see what he taught, as we see him die and rise again, we see that this is a Jesus who lived up to his name. A Jesus that does save his people from their sins. As we finish, can I ask you what you expect of Jesus? Do you expect him just to be a cute little baby in a manger that you can think about for a little bit today and ignore for the rest of the year? Do you realize how unexpected he was and still is? That in his birth, in the place and the people around him, but in his life, as he lived, as he died, that he has come for people like you and me. I hope today, as we've read these words, as we've sung these songs, perhaps as you go back and spend the day with family, perhaps if you come along to more services or speak to Christians around you, you will come to see who Jesus is. That he is born King of the Jews. He is the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of God. He is the one who has come to save. And to save people like us. I pray that you will have a wonderful and a happy Christmas day. But I pray more than anything that Jesus will be at the heart of it. And that as the excitement of the day fades, that you'll realize that Jesus is the one who has come to save his people from their sins. Well, we thank God for all that he's done. And we thank him for his word. We thank him for Jesus Christ. We're going to finish with a carol that we haven't sung yet this Christmas season at Netley. And I chose it because it starts in the stable. It reminds us of Jesus' birth, but it builds and moves us beyond that to think of what waits for those who put their trust in him. So let's stand and sing as we finish, Once in Royal David City.